Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm your host Shane Lees, and joining me this week I've got Richard Hero Hudson.
Hello.
And Anthony Kendrick.
Hello, you alright?
Yeah, Nick Davey couldn't be joining us, he has some very important paperwork.
He was calling in.
I'm personally saying he's watching porn, but that's that's what I'm saying. Right,
let's. I think he's got the real thing.
The first thing I want to mention, because someone else is going to mention it, so I've got to do it first. When we did the previous Euro show, I predicted Ukraine to be dark horses. First team out, not a goal scored. Yeah.
Good shout.
Good shout.
Who was your other team to watch out for as well that you picked?
Did I pick two?
Yeah, you picked Russia as well.
I didn't say Russia to watch out for, I said Russia are decent. I was still wrong, but I didn't say to watch out for them. I just said they're better than people expected. Which, I tell you what, this is as great a point as any to start on. We fucking drew with them, so I don't know what you're laughing about. We were
shit. They were gash, though.
They were crap, but we were crap as well. It's alright.
I should point out that I would have predicted Ukraine and Russia to both go out with bottom. I wasn't on last week, but that's what I would have.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, that hindsight's just an amazing gift.
I'd have pictured Wales to finish with 6 points, England 5, Slovakia 4, and Russia 1, but, you know, just wasn't...
In defence to you, I also made a complete balls up by saying that Italy would be the big club, the big nation to not make it out of the group.
You also said Austria were the dark horses, and they're out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're all bad at this. We don't know why you listen to us. Feel free to turn off now. No, just stay on. Group finished Wales with 6 points, England with 5 points, Slovakia 4, Russia 1. We threw away top spot in the group stages with a crap draw to Slovakia. But considering we haven't done the show in a while now, let's talk about England v Russia first. 1-1 draw. How bad a result was that?
It was a bad result, but it was a decent performance. And we were, you know, unlucky. It was annoying to concede a last-minute goal because we deserved the win in that game, I felt.
You know, I think it's... They've been at odds, the performances compared to the results. Like, a lot of the performances in the build-up to the Euros were worse, but we got the results. And now it's sort of in the opposite way around. The performances in general... We've absolutely bossed the games, but we just can't get the ball in the back of the net now.
Isn't that just loser talk, though? Like, we did well, give ourselves a pat on the back, but we didn't actually do anything. Like, can you imagine the Spanish...
It reminds me so much of Man United this season, how England have played at the Euros.
I'm just saying...
Like, every game they're getting 70% possession. But just not doing anything with it, with the possession.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, the Spanish or the Germans going, well, we played well, but we just couldn't... Like, the Germans didn't go, well, we played well against Poland, but damn, we just couldn't get the result. They were like, how the hell did we just not beat Poland? This is crap.
In fairness, the one big plus is there's not another nation currently at the Euros that's storming it.
Yeah, I'd say that no countries really set the tournament on fire. Like, Spain looked like they were going to do it, but then they had that terrible result against Croatia.
And same with Italy.
Yeah, Italy were doing very well, and then they lost to the Republic of Ireland. Germany were doing well, and they drew with Poland. So no one's really setting it all on fire. But Russia, I mean, especially after that game, because everyone was saying, okay, Russia, they got big players, all of that lot. They're a threat in the air. I mean, they just got digged on after that by both the Welsh and the Slovakians. It kind of made us look back on it and go, how didn't we win that?
Yeah, but we dicked on the Welsh.
Right, and they top the group, so it doesn't really matter.
But like, of all the three clubs, all the three nations that we've played, they've been little threat to us.
If we'd have only drawn the game to Wales and say beaten Russia, ended up on the same points but didn't beat Wales, I think the mood of England fans would be a lot worse than it is now.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that's just an example of how a derby victory... This is what I think about the England-Wales game. I think it was very much a false dawn. We looked amazing in that game. We played really well. It was pretty bad for 45 minutes, but we played well, and we got the result in the end, and it was dramatic fashion. It was something that everyone's going to get into, and in the next game, we did nothing. It was a real false... Like, people talking about we played well. We played well at the World Cup. It was our worst World Cup in history. It was our worst international tournament in history. We played well. We played well against the Italians. We played well against Uruguay. We didn't do anything against Costa Rica. But we were out by then. We played well, didn't we?
But I would argue went out. That our performances in the three games, possibly, well, Slovakia slightly worse, but the performances in the three games have been pretty similar in terms of quality.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Okay, well then, you've said we've been dominating the games, but we haven't been taking our chances, all that sort of stuff. So why are we finding it so difficult to put teams away?
Lack of width is the main thing, but then I think the hand was forced. There's not really, we don't have any top wingers. I think that's a big issue, and I'm not sure what the best way to resolve that is. We've proven in the friendly against Portugal that the diamond system doesn't work. I think we've got to go 4-3-3 and make Vardy play out wide with Lallana on the other wing. I think that's our big problem.
I don't know. I think that none of the strikers are particularly looking like they're on they've got the shooting boots on. The final ball into the box has been poor. Like you saw Henderson in the last game. If he had a voting card, he wouldn't have put any crosses in the right place, would he?
He'd have put a cross on the little like piece of paper underneath it. That's what would have happened. He'd have missed and just drawn.
Wilshere, the number of sloppy balls that every time he picked up the ball, he seemed to just give it to one of the opposition. Was taking it forward.
I've seen pretty split views on Wilshere. Personally, I thought he was dreadful, but...
Yeah, I thought he was awful.
I've seen mixed views. I've seen some people praising the performance, saying he was really trying, he was really getting forward well and trying to make stuff but personally...
And I've not been a Wilshere hater. I've been on the podcast before saying that he should be at the Euros.
I am a Wilshere hater, and he was terrible.
I've stuck up for him previously, but he was pretty poor the other night.
The thing is though, who else? He took Wilshere and Henderson, but like, which other centre mids should he have taken? Maybe, well, there's Drinkwater, but other than that, who's the other one?
Mark Noble, I'd have taken. Mark Noble, okay, maybe he's not quite got as much quality as Wilshere. Okay, no, I can buy that. I can buy that Wilshere has got quality, he's good on his feet. The unfortunate thing is, Wilshere's played about 3 games in the entire season, and Mark Noble's been on form for the entire season. I have to say, I agree with what Richard's saying. I don't think it's about wingers, because I actually can't think of that many amazing wingers out of this tournament. I can't think of that many sides you think, yeah, they've got great wing play. I think it's weakness right in the middle. Defensively, we've not actually been bad in the tournament. We've not been great, but we've not been bad. And up front, okay, we've actually created a fair amount of chances, we've just not been scoring them. It's in the middle, but we just seem to be losing everything.
The stats from the England-Slovakia game were that 61% possession, so that's, you know, it does decent, but not like a Barcelona level. But then you look at the shots. England had 29 shots compared to Slovakia's 4, but out of 29 shots, 5 on target.
Hmm. Well, it was all from range. I think it was Lallana's one where we got closest. And I'll talk about Lallana in a minute. But
we had 11 corners.
Oh, God, it was painful. I said, I was down in the pub with friends watching that game, and I said, I have a horrible feeling this is going to be a nil-niller. And it's like, well, why didn't you put a bet on that? I was thinking, well, I wanted food at the pub. I should have put my money on that, because it was so bad.
The thing is, 67%
possession and no goals. That's awful.
Slovakia went into that game knowing a nil-nil would probably send them through. They were happy to take their chances on a nil-nil draw and getting through as a best third place team. They were perfectly happy to do that, which is a legitimate, you know, from their point of view, it was something that only occurred to me after. From their point of view, why not go for that? And that's what they did. And they did. Slovakia also played well. I think credit needs to go to them. They defended extremely well and, you know, restricted us to shots from range. I know we have to focus on England. Obviously, we're in English, you know. But I think credit has to go to Slovakia in that game.
Yeah, credit has to go to Slovakia. But this is one thing I was saying on night, was it almost kind of looked like nobody had told the England players that if we didn't win, we weren't finishing top. It was almost as if they went out going, ah, yeah, draw will do. Draw will do, draw will be fine.
They weren't trying to draw the game. They were attacking and trying to win the game.
They were attacking the game, but there was no real commitment. There was no real urgency or sense of we need to get this result. We need to win this game. And I could understand that if we were playing the same team and they were a bit tired, but we made 6 changes. So surely they've got to try and impress. Like, you can say Slovakia only wanted the nil-nil. They were comfortable with that, so they sat back and defended, sure. But surely we wanted to win, and we're a better side than Slovakia. So surely we should have overpowered them.
In 3 games, we had 64 shots on goal.
And 3 goals.
We scored 3 goals.
I just think it's been worse than a lot of people have been willing to say, England. And the only reason we've got through is because there's a lot of sides that have been worse than us. It's it's like we said, no one set the tournament on fire, but there's been worse sides. I think if we had a slightly harder group, if we had a group like Republic of Ireland have a group, we'd have gone out, I think.
Who's that? Italy, Belgium and Sweden.
Yeah, I think if we were in that group, we'd have maybe done third at a chance.
You can't think Ireland are a better side than us.
No, I don't, but I think they played with a bit more urgency and commitment than us. I think you look at, especially that, like, we played with commitment in the Wales game, sure, but we were always going to play with commitment in that game. The Russia game and the Slovakia game, it was like we wanted to win, we wanted to attack, but we weren't really forcing it to happen. We weren't really throwing everything at it. It was all a bit restrained.
I feel that we have no passion. The English players have no passion.
We had it in the Wales game. We didn't have it in the other games.
Okay. What have been, for both of you, both the positives and negative, well, the plus points of the England team and the negatives of the England team, player-wise?
Kyle Walker and Wayne Rooney are the two obvious ones. Wayne Rooney's been great in midfield. Kyle Walker's I wouldn't have started Walker initially. I would have played Klein, but Walker's been good.
I said before the podcast started that I was going to say something that was going to be against what most people would say. I agree with you on Rooney. Rooney's been great. He's been outstanding. And I think it's been very helpful that the media hasn't climbed on Rooney's back. There's been not a lot said about him, and I think he's had a position to thrive. I think Kyle Walker's been shit. And this is the thing, I like Kyle Walker. I think he's a very good player. I was hoping he would start a right back. I think he's been crap. Because, I'm sorry, alright, here's one for you. Recall a single Kyle Walker cross.
Okay.
People were going on in that Wales game saying, Kyle Walker's been amazing, he's getting up and down the wing. You know, he's getting up and down the wing, and he was getting to the byline and doing fucking nothing. He was turning back in, getting lost, passing it backwards, and then the attack was breaking down. He was doing nothing. He was working hard, and we always go, oh, England players, they work hard, isn't that nice, isn't that nice? No! The German players fucking work hard. The Spanish players work hard. The Italians work hard. They have quality at the end of it. Kyle Walker, a lot of hard work. Excellent. Great to see. No real quality at the end of it.
Shane, I'm gonna actually surprise you on this, but I actually said the same on the forum.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Because every time I saw him got the ball, he was great at bringing it forward, and then he got to a certain point and he just slowed the play down every single time and then brought it back.
So, would you guys be playing Klein against Iceland?
No, I'm not saying he's done so badly that he needs to be dropped. I'm saying, like, we've seen all these professionals and these pundits going out and saying, oh, Kyle Walker's been the best right back at the tournament. I just think they haven't been actually watching any other games. Have they been watching Croatia with, what's his name, Dario Cerna?
Cerna's a great right back.
He's been outstanding, and people are going, Kyle Walker's been amazing. He's worked hard, that's it. I don't know how he's fooled all these professionals into thinking he's been one of the best right backs at this tournament.
I know Albania have gone out, but Hysaj for them.
Yeah, doesn't he? Isn't he on loan from Juventus this season?
He's currently at Napoli at the moment.
That's it, Napoli. Yeah, he's had a great tournament. And just when people were saying that, I was thinking, are they actually watching this game? He's getting up and down the wing, and that's what you want to see from a right back. But you want to see when he gets up to put in good crosses and when he gets back to put in good tackles. He's doing neither. He's just getting up and down the wing. I could do that. I could run around all day. I'd be knackered at the end of it.
And he could do that because we were playing against teams that allowed us to have the possession so he could get up the pitch.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's been a letdown, Kyle Walker. I wouldn't say he's been terrible, but people have been going, he's been average. I'd say he's been a 7 out of 10. Decent performance, hard work, but there's no real
Dyer's impressed, mate.
He has, yeah. He's been very good. He's been a star of the show and he looks like he could be in an England team for years.
He very much reminds me of Owen Hargreaves from, was it the 2006?
Was it 2006?
When was it that Hargreaves was just bossing it?
Mm. I think it was 2006.
I thought it was, because we went out to, it was the one where we went out to Portugal, wasn't it? Oh, it could have been either 2004 or 6. Yeah, definitely 2006, sorry, my bad.
Yeah, and he very much reminds me of him, that he just cleans things up, everything's simple, and just gets on with his job. There's nothing fancy about him. He just does it.
He's got quality on the ball as well. He knows how to pick a pass. He knows how to stop a play when it needs to be stopped and start moving it forward when it needs to be moved forward. He's not like one of those Milner or Carrick players who will sometimes slow it down unnecessarily. He seems to have a good sense of timing and anticipation. And that's what we've been missing, I think, in the middle of midfield for a long time. I mean, that's something the Germans have, for example, in spades. They know when to start pushing forward and when to start dropping back. Eric Dyer, he's makes me think he's a very intelligent kind of defensive midfielder.
I think as well it's certainly helped for Rooney to be able to, for a player that's not traditionally been a midfielder for his career and obviously has now had to go back a step. It's hard to go back to midfield. It's not like just, if you've played in that a certain position for 10, 15 years of your career, to suddenly then have a much more of the pitch in front of you. to have a player the quality of Dyer at the side of you, it allows you to still have a bit of freedom.
Both of them have been outstanding this tournament. Rooney's, I think he's set the tournament on fire. And it's a weird one, considering he hasn't scored. Normally would be, you know, up in arms when he's not scored at a tournament. He's been outstanding. His passing has been ridiculous. He looks like Paul Scholes in the midfield.
With Dyer, do you think his Portuguese, like, upbringing's helped him? Like, because he's obviously learned in a completely different culture. And I guess Owen Hargreaves did as well. You know, he played for Bayern, the youth team there. Do you think having almost a foreigner within the English, you know, I guess it's a completely different way of looking at things, which I think it's something we also lose out on because no English players play abroad, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a shame that the English culture is such that young lads don't really go abroad like that.
Mm. I'd say, here's another one that you might find a little bit controversial, a bit like the Kyle Walker one, Adam Lallana. Now, everyone knows I'm not a fan of Adam Lallana, but people have been saying, oh, he's been really good, he's been a linchpin in our midfield. I think it's the exact same situation as Kyle Walker. He's made a lot of effort, he's done a lot of running around, and he's been in the right places, but his end quality has been abysmal. It's always been crap. It was crap when he was at Southampton. He just didn't really know what to do when he got to the end of it. He'd pass it off to one of the better players who would then put it in the back of a net. I think it was against Russia, he completely shanked that shot wide, and against, was it Slovakia, he just smashed it straight down the middle, easy save for the keeper. I think he's been crap. I can't understand how he's starting.
I would continue playing Lallana, but I agree with you that he's not been great. I think the problem is, I think we have to play with some width, and the options are Lallana or Sterling, basically, or we play a striker wide. And Sterling's been atrocious, and yeah, Lallana.
I would be very tempted. I know that it's not his natural position for his club, and the fact that he's for his club, he only started playing for them in February, but I'd give Rashford a go.
On the wing?
Yeah, he's fast. He's got the set of bollocks to actually run at a defender and take him on.
I do agree that Rashford does deserve more of a chance than he's got. The thing about Sterling is, I think he's a bit like Andros Townsend, where he's playing on the left wing and he keeps cutting into his right foot. He keeps trying to deviate every single time. He's doing the exact same thing. So after the second time, a defender knows what he's doing. I always think when I look at Sterling, he's got on the right wing. You got the pace, you got the trickery. If you don't have to suddenly cut inside and try and make that pass or have that shot, you're going to start putting balls in. You can take them down the line, man. That's his strength. Why aren't we playing down the right wing? I don't understand that one. It seems like it would be just so natural for him.
I think, with Sterling?
Yeah, with Sterling. Put him down the right wing, get him to run down the line.
I think the problem with Sterling is that his confidence is just shot.
Like, I was saying last week...
One of my mates is a City fan, and I think I might have mentioned it on the podcast before, but... all season, soon as he's got the ball, soon as he's got near the defender, he's just slowed down play and brought it back, like I was saying about Kyle Walker. Mm. And he's just not had the confidence to try and run past a defender at all for the season.
That is one thing I'm hoping with Guardiola going to City is, I know people don't like Sterling because of the move and all of that crap, but I hope he's a good young prospect, he's an English prospect, I hope Guardiola can put some confidence in him because he does look a bit shy out there a little bit. I think it's kind of a shame. I'd like to see him down the right wing because I think he's got all the attributes for it and I don't know why we keep persisting with putting him on the left. Any other players who we feel have been a bit of a letdown? What about Dele Alli? Has he maybe not lived up to his reputation this season?
He's not really done anything either way. It's a difficult one, Alli. Mm. He's sort of had one or two good moments, but he's not done enough. But he's not, I don't know, he's sort of, he's slap bang in the middle. It's hard to say, I think. Mm. So, yeah, maybe he has been a letdown by that.
I think as it's gone on, he's got worse. I thought in the first game, he looked like he was up for it. I think in the second game, he lost the battle against Aaron Ramsey. And that you could see he was getting a bit tetchy over it as the game went on. And then when he came on in the third game, he didn't do anything.
How critical is his relationship with Kane, though, to them two playing well?
Well, Kane, for me, has been the biggest disappointment of the tournament.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But how big is Alli and Kane together to both of them?
Well, they both started against Russia, and they were both terrible. The one thing I'd say about Kane in particular is, as much as I'd like to kind of slate him for being just abysmal, he has had no service. I mean, he plays for Tottenham, and he's getting balls.
Well, the problem,
he's getting balls in the middle, he's getting balls in the air.
He was the service.
But yeah, and it was madness with the corner thing that they stuck with it. But I mean, you know, he plays for Tottenham, he's getting balls through the middle, he's getting balls over the top, he's getting the ones out wide, he's getting all sorts of service. England, he's being made to run out wide, put the balls in, he's being made to take corners. as much as I really want to criticise him for it, I feel like that's actually more just bad management. It's a complete mismanagement of what Kane's abilities are. I feel like he's being played like this every striker, who can do a bit of everything, but he's actually a very particular kind of striker. He's a goal scorer. He's not a target man. People talk about him like a big target man. He isn't. He hasn't got a big leap on him. He can't do any of that stuff. You put the ball into him at feet, anywhere near that sort of box, and you try and let him have a go. Or he lays it off for you. But you need to have the service for that.
Yeah, but at the moment, there's nobody that can give him the service. You've got, like, Henderson and Lallana, who wouldn't be able to hit the side of it, as bad as a stormtrooper for the shots.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, for Spurs, you've got Christian Eriksen, who would get it on the top of a pinhead.
All right, okay, another one people have talked about as being very bad. Well, I just think he's just not done anything in particular. Joe Hart. A lot of people have been very critical of him. I think it's, like, people talked about him making a mistake in the Wales game. I don't think it was a mistake. I just think it was bad keeping. I think he anticipated him going one way too much, and he went the other.
Is that not the same thing?
That's a mistake.
No, it's bad keeping. It's not. It's a mistake is where you suddenly go, oh, fuck, I really messed it up. Whereas bad keeping
that's
is just...
how he felt after the goal.
Well, he probably felt like that, yeah, but that's because you can tell with how passionate he is, he's going to be overly critical. I think it was just an example of he wasn't particularly good at that moment. I don't think it's
that was a mistake.
Like the Robert Green one, that's a mistake. That's a full-on mistake, bona fide mistake. The Bale one, it was understandable why that's going to go in.
I'm not sure I follow, to be honest, the difference between what you're saying.
Okay, let me put it this way. A great keeper would be someone like Buffon, who anticipates that's going to go exactly there, takes the early step, gets in there, does it. Joe Hart anticipated from what he'd seen in the last game against with Bale, where he puts it in the middle, he puts it down the other side, and so he didn't take that step. He based his wall around doing that. It was bad anticipation to not see that Bale was going to do what he did. That's not a mistake. That's just not being particularly good.
No, because he wasn't even too far into the corner.
No.
I mean, you say that, but at the same time, you look at the goal David De Gea conceded the other day.
Mm.
Near
that
post.
Was a mistake.
I don't think that was a mistake. I think he doesn't make a mistake to not cover the post. It's just bad keeping to not cover the post. There is a difference between being a bad keeper and making mistakes. And it's something that we always a bit... For me, I think we're always harsh on keepers, because with keepers, when they've just done something badly, we always think it's a mistake, whereas with, like, a centre-back, we say, oh, it's just not particularly good defending.
Yeah.
Because they've made a mistake, usually.
Well, yeah, ironically, defenders, it's normally the other way round. Okay, last two I want to talk about is Henderson and Wilshere. I know we've mentioned Wilshere briefly. Is it just looking like a mistake to have taken both of them?
Yeah, but I would have... Even now, I would have, even knowing what I know now, I would have taken both of them at the time. Well, I would have 100% taken Wilshere, and I probably would have taken Henderson. I think, because I presume Hodgson went into the tournament thinking, his first three is going to be Dele Alli, Eric Dier, Wayne Rooney, and as backups, I would sooner take the gamble on one of those two than, as you suggest, Mark Noble.
Okay.
I agree, to be honest, even though that I don't particularly rate Henderson that much, but I just think that it's an area at the moment for England where we really don't have that much in the way of quality, and that Henderson is probably going for sort of FIFA ratings, etc.
Okay, yeah.
The only, if it were me though, I would have probably, he's had a fantastic season, I think. Tom Cleverley, I would have taken. But...
Oh my word.
Even I'm not saying we should take James Ward-Prowse. Come on, Anthony. Okay.
No, Cleverley's better than Ward-Prowse.
Sure, alright. Okay.
I'm sure, must have a laminated poster of Tom Cleverley on your wall.
No, it's on his ceiling.
That you can wipe clean.
Okay, do we still have the same old England problem? And it's something I was saying, I think it was in the last World Cup, I've been saying it for ages, that the England teams are always just sellotaped together. And what I mean by that is we're tactically unsure and we have a lack of identity. Do you still see that problem, or do you think we've made progress on that one?
No, I agree with you. You look at the other national teams, and they have a set plan, and they then put players into that plan. We have players that then we make a plan around.
Yeah.
But then I feel like there's a lack of depth in the England squad, which other Germany, Spain, etc. have, which they can,
No, I disagree on that, because you look at, say, Italy, and Italy haven't got particularly a huge depth to them at the moment. But, yeah. You know, they play the Italian way. You know that they will do that, and they just put the players in that will fit that mould.
All right, plan or no plan, outside of the 11, maybe, say, 13, 14 players, there's not anyone who should be, who's good enough to start for England.
Right.
So, I think, sorry?
Yeah, okay.
So, that you can't have a plan because you can't have different... You have to play these players because there's not any alternatives who are good enough. So it's all well and good saying, you know, we want to plan to play with fast wingers, but we don't have fast wingers. We've got to make, you've got to make the best plan with the players you've got. You can't just magic these players out of thin air to fit your plan.
I don't disagree with what you're saying on paper, but I'll put it this way. Croatia don't have much squad depth, but,
right.
But they still clearly have actual team cohesion. Not necessarily genuine team cohesion.
Their plan, if you like, is get the best out of Modric, Rakitic and Perisic, and to an extent Mandzukic. They've got, well, all three of them, maybe four of them, all four of them would walk into the England side. They just... They have these star players to work around, which we don't so much.
Okay, but I can see what you're saying. And, like, you can say, okay, we don't have the identity because we don't have the players for the identity, but surely the whole thing is that you make the identity first and then the players come through afterwards. I see other sides. Like, take the Italian side, for instance. It is a side that has essentially been sellotaped together. It's one of the worst Italian sides in years, even by the Italian media standards. Yet they have real cohesion in their team. They look like they know what they're doing. It's not necessarily that they've got a perfect set plan every single time, but they all seem to know each other. They seem to... It all seems to gel a lot quicker, a lot better, and we never seem to have that with England. It always seems to be... It takes so long before we finally get into a way of playing.
I think we used to have it, though, for England. I think it's just we've sort of... over the last few years, gone through a bit of an identity crisis and sort of thought 4-4-2 doesn't work anymore. The English sort of setup doesn't work anymore. We're sort of 20 years behind the continent. We've got to catch up, but we don't know how to, rather than just sort of think, let's just stick with the English setup because it'll come full circle at some point and our rock will beat their scissors at some time.
I'd love it if it was that simple. But, yeah, you know, instead of a coin flip at the start of the games, rock, paper, scissors, right, you won. Right, okay. I'm going to talk about something that is going to be ironic here. It's going to be incredibly ironic. But are England fans and the media too reactive? And what I mean when I say that is, you look at the Russia game. After the Russia game, it was everyone saying, okay, it was a decent performance, but, you know, we should have been doing better. We weren't very good. Instant reaction. We beat Wales. England are the best team ever. We're amazing. We're great. Hodgson, tactical genius for bringing on several strikers when we were losing. It was amazing. It was great. It was great. We can go on and win this tournament. People are going to be afraid of us. We draw off Slovakia. No one's going to be afraid of England. Hodgson, what's he doing? He's brought off six players. It's just, are we reacting a little bit too much in the moment?
Yeah, but we are ourselves.
I've tried to be balanced.
I'm being ironic.
In the 94th minute against Slovakia, if we'd have scored one goal, we'd have been top of that group in the easy half of the draw, and we'd have been praising Roy.
If I was a newspaper editor and I'm writing I've got to write the headline after that 0-0 with Slovakia, you know, what else am I supposed to write? You know, that's what's going to sell the paper, you know.
I'm not just talking about the media, I'm talking the fans in general. I mean,
but the fans feed off the media. It's all interlinked. You can't say it doesn't matter what the media write, what the fans feel. It's all controlled by the media. Well, not controlled, that's the wrong word, but influence.
I don't disagree, but I don't know what, like, we always seem to have the opinion in England that other countries don't do this, and they definitely do. Like, you saw with Brazil, the World Cup, the media there was just mental. The Italian media is famous for being insane. The Spanish media is just ridiculous. But I always feel we do it a little bit more than, say, other countries, where we just have that instant reaction. We have no sense of scope, almost. Or am I talking about
Spanish media worse?
No, because it's the Twitter generation, isn't it, now, is that, like, immediately everybody puts up their 2 pence up on Twitter and the podcast, you know, we ourselves are part of it.
That's the irony.
Everybody now has a voice to which they can rant to whoever cares to listen or read it. And we're the best for that.
Yep. I was going to say, we're being a bit self-deprecating here. Alright, okay. Two more questions I want to ask about England. The first question is, should Hodgson go at the end of this tournament, either resign or get kicked, regardless of what happens?
No. If we do well, then... Well, I We'll make a decision after the tournament. Sorry, that's a really bad answer to give, but that's the reality. Wait until, see what happens at the tournament, but I'd be happy to work for Roy to stay.
Right, what I'm saying is, regardless of what happens at the tournament, is his time up? So say, like we talked
no,
about...
No, and the answer to your question is no. If we get knocked out embarrassingly to Iceland, then yeah, his time's up. But if we do well, I don't want to quantify what well is, but yeah, I'd be happy for him to stay in principle.
See, for me,
if we beat Germany 5-0 in the final,
then Roy should go.
It isn't going to happen.
No, but... that should go. He should leave on a high.
But this is what I'm saying. It's like Louis van Gaal at the end of last season. Wins the FA Cup. It's a golden handshake. Well done. At least you won something. We're maybe slightly better off than where we were before. Congratulations. You can go out ending it decently. But it's also the case that if he does badly, he's done badly for two tournaments in a row now, and then a third. Okay, you got to go. Is it maybe a situation where time's just up?
No, I think he could possibly stay for another tournament. That's mine.
I'd be sort of thinking who else is out there because the
Harry Redd. Think...
Oh, Harry Redknapp.
Because there doesn't seem to be a huge leap in the quality of English managers at the moment.
Are we possibly maybe just saying that because England managers don't get the big jobs?
Greg Dyke said that it doesn't necessarily have to be an English manager who comes next, just someone who understands English football. So he was sort of hinting
at... So Ranieri then?
Or Mourinho, or someone like that.
Yeah, that's what the implication was.
Personally, I do think for English managers, we've got a good crop of young managers. We have a decent amount of older managers, but it's the ones in between, the ones who you'd normally give the England job to that aren't very good. That's what I'd say. But
would you give the job to someone, you say a decent young manager like Eddie Howe or Sean Dyche or someone like that?
No.
I would, personally, yeah, I would. Because I think I think at the end of this tournament, it doesn't matter how good Hodgson does, we're technically speaking no further along the line than we were before. We've brought through younger players, yes, we've done that, but in terms of actually reforging our national identity, developing a way of playing that's going down through the different youth groups, we've done nothing. We've sat still for the last three tournaments.
But I couldn't see someone like that getting any respect from the top English players who are, you know, I just don't see it.
Well, yeah, there's those concerns, but I don't think that just because there aren't any better options out there doesn't mean you should just persist with the current bad option. I think if he does well, Hodgson, congratulations, you've left on a high, well done. That'll be what you're remembered for. But
it's not still the amount of where the bad options out there. I think he's done a reasonable job.
I think he's had two dreadful tournaments, a third one which can go either way at the moment.
The first tournament, you can't really blame him for. He sort of came in last minute. I don't think you can blame him for the first one. The second one was a disaster. I'm not going to defend that. But, you know, perfect qualifying. And
We're not Wales. This is like Man United going, oh, we're happy finishing fifth with the FA Cup. We're not bloody Wales. We shouldn't be happy to qualify. We're England. We should be at every bloody tournament.
No, but it's a perfect qualifier. Did another nation do that? No.
Who cares? Yeah, other nations have harder
than you. In any other managerial job, would you last 6 years in it and not actually get anywhere?
Yeah, and I could understand if we were doing okay in tournaments, or if we weren't doing okay in tournaments, if there was a clear sign of progression, or we were putting in a foundation to build up for a better England squad, where Hodgson was saying, right, I'm the sacrificial lamb, I'm going to do poorly for a few years, but in the next few years after that, it's all going to be good. I could understand that. We haven't done any of that.
He's picked a lot of young players.
He's picked young players, but look at the example of Marcus Rashford. Yes, I'd say he did deserve to go to the tournament, but he didn't play a single under-21
game. What's he supposed to do? Start Marcus Rashford in every game?
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we haven't set a foundation. Can you tell me the way the under-21s play football? And can you tell me it's the same way that the senior team plays football? What about the under-19s or even before that? Do we actually... Have we developed any kind of specific England style of football? Are we going out there and telling the teams in this country, bring through your young English players in this kind of way? We want wingers like this, we want forwards like this, we want defenders like this. Are we doing any of that? No. And I'm sorry, you can say, oh, but it's the Premier League and oh, it's all powerful and all that crap. Every other leagues do this. Other leagues and other FAs do this. The German FA does this, the Bundesliga do this, the Liga do this, and the Spanish FA do this. Why can't we do it? We're not a special case.
Let me ask this question. Do you think the England manager, whether it's Roy Hodgson or otherwise, can go to Man United, can go to Arsenal and say, right, I want you to develop fast wingers. That's what your youth team's goal is. We want this. We want players to play in this way. He can't. The clubs wouldn't listen to him. The clubs all look after their own interests. There is no way.
We are not a special case. We are not a special case. We can't say, oh, the FA can't go to Man United and say, can you do this? But the Spanish FA can go to Barcelona, the biggest club in the world, and say it. Because they do. They do. And Barcelona then go and do it. It's part of their whole mantra that they do this. We are not a special case. We are not unique. If the FA and Roy Hodgson in particular took a hard line stance, said, right, you're not going to get any players in this national team if you aren't trying for this. And I'm sorry, then the English players would never move to these clubs if they didn't think about it. I think they do have more power than they let on. It's like the government. The government can do fuck tons more than they do. They just don't realise they can do it. Like the Lib Dems in the last one could have stonewalled every single Conservative piece of legislation. Didn't do shit because they didn't realise they had that power. Same situation with the FA and the Premier League.
I don't think the FA has any proper power over the Premier. The Premier League has authority over the FA. I'm sorry, but that's the harsh reality of it. I don't know what to say, to be honest.
I think this is one of the first genuine arguments we've actually had on the podcast in a while.
No, it's good. It makes a change. I think the idea. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. I think the idea of a team identity is overrated. I don't think.
Okay. When was last? Okay, with the exception of Greece and Denmark, who was the last national team to win something at a world stage that didn't have a team identity? Oh wow! It just turns out that successful teams actually build from the bottom up.
I'd be pretty interested to know what foreign fans think of the English team and their identity. Like I don't know.
They probably still think 4-4-2.
Well, no, like because we don't play that anymore, really. I don't know. I think it's easy to look at other teams and think it's all rosy, and look at our own and be self-deprecating. I think. Yeah, I don't know, but I do think the idea of a team identity is overrated. And I do think that it's easy to say how green the grass on the other side, and yeah, that's my two cents.
On a completely different note, and this is depending upon when the podcast goes out, and not even related to the Euros, but Laurent Blanc has just received £17 million for getting the sack from PSG.
Has he been sacked?
Yeah.
Good for bloody him.
What? All right. That's an excellent manager. What's happened to him?
This is very topical news in this podcast. Is not live, so let's move on to another thing. And this might be where we go optimistic about England. How far can we go? Because here's what I think: we can beat Iceland. We should beat Iceland. We can go up against France, and the French team haven't set the tournament on fire. We could get a result there, and then shit, you don't even know who we can draw. We could do anything. I think, for as much as I've been knocking England, it wouldn't be ridiculous to say we could go on and win this tournament. It would be the outsiders, definitely, but it wouldn't be as ridiculous as some people think.
We almost certainly will beat Iceland. I think we're 1-3 on to qualify, something like that. Anyway, we're massive favourites to go through against Iceland. France, I think this is what we sort of mentioned in passing earlier. I think France have been the best team at the Euros so far. But that's not to say they've been a lot better. I think the problem is that no team has stood out. But I think France have been the best so far.
I think France are the best team of individuals. I don't think necessarily they're the best team.
I think they've played the best. They do have the best individuals, you're right. But I think they've played the best so far of all the teams. Taking all their three games and, yeah.
No, if you went sort of man for man between the England team and the French team, I can't see many English players making that team.
I don't know, Ryan Bertrand's a lot better than the French.
Apart from Koscielny, France are poor defensively. Rooney would probably get in there. Maybe Kane over Giroud, but Giroud's... The French seem to like Giroud sometimes. Well, I guess sometimes he gets booed off and criticised, but...
I think the French manager has made just probably even more mistakes than Roy with some of his selections.
Which selections?
The dropping of, well, like the insistent, constant need for Giroud up front. Some of the other strikers that he took to the tournament.
Well, Gignac's a strange one, but I mean, he couldn't take Benzema. That was out of his hands.
No, he could have easily have taken, what's his name? The one that plays in France at the moment that's particularly good.
Lacazette.
Yeah.
Lacazette went off the boil, though, in the second half of the season.
See, here's the thing.
Isn't he playing one that's currently playing in like the Mexican league or something like that?
Gignac, but he played under him at Marseille, so he's sort of a
that's exactly sort of a Roy thing, though.
But I mean, yeah.
All right. The one question I want to ask about the French is: has their performances epitomised the Euros so far? And that is that they've been dramatic, last minute goals, all that sort of stuff, but actually fairly drab games.
Yeah, well, I just think that they're not playing as a team which often the French don't do, that there's a lot of egos there, and they all want to be the star man. I think they'll still beat England, because I think the quality of the entire team is far superior to ours.
And it's not like we're playing like a team either.
Yes, but I, from what the, I had them as the early, as the favourites to win it beforehand, I don't think they will, mate.
Ooh, okay. So that's France. We're going to talk a bit about some of the other countries that are notable. We've still got about 20 minutes, I think. The Welsh. Now, Richard, you said you thought the Welsh were going to be crap. You said they weren't going to get out of the group, or they were going to finish third. Are we surprised by Wales, how well they've done? They're top of the group, they've done very well. They've been playing good football. Even against us, they played fairly well. And they destroyed the Russians, they destroyed the Slovakians.
They didn't destroy the Slovakians.
It was a 2-0 fairly simple game up until when they conceded in the last 10. Yeah, no, it was when they conceded in the last few minutes, and it looked a bit nervy at the end.
Well, there was periods of that game where they were really under the cosh.
I don't think there were any major periods. There were like 5-minute periods, but that's going to happen in every game. There were periods against us with Slovakia where Slovakia looked like scoring.
Very few and far between.
Yeah, same situation. Are we surprised by how well they've done, or is this actually part of the course of Wales?
I hate him as a player, but I think Aaron Ramsey's been quality for them. Mm. He's been one of the best central midfielders at the tournament for me.
Especially with his blonde hair.
Yeah. Bale has been sort of a talisman, but I don't think he's sort of been as amazing as I thought he would have been.
But I think that's because of teams being prepared and apps like not allowing him any time on the ball, so he's only really had any opportunities from free kicks.
And Wales for a couple of the games that I felt, you know, especially against England, that they were defending for a large period of it, so he just didn't get the ball to him.
I tell you what, we say Gareth Bale has not been amazing, and I don't think he's been amazing. He's still scored in every single goal game so far. Can you imagine if Rooney or someone had done that? Would be praising
to the high heavens. Two were dodgy as hell free kicks. But they weren't actually that great free kicks. Both of them weren't actually in the corners.
Oh, it's better than Kane's free kicks.
Both of them should have been saved.
Okay. He's joined Tor with Morata.
How far do we think the Welsh can go? They've got Northern Ireland in the round of 16. How far do we think this Welsh team can go?
They could get to the final, because you look at that side of the draw and there's not much there.
I haven't actually got it up at the moment.
You've got Portugal, Croatia and Poland are probably the three of them. Yeah, but I think Belgium have been off the pace.
Wales could do well. It depends. You'd have to work out who they're going to get in later rounds. But you would, similar to England against Iceland, you would presume they'd beat Northern Ireland. Quarter final, semi final. They could do well.
Okay, should we as English fans, you know, they're one of the home nations, should we applaud how well they've done, or should we go for the rivalry and go, I hope they go out quickly? I personally cheered when they were winning, even against Russia, and they were putting us into second place. So I was happy. I was happy that everyone was going through. We were doing well.
I wasn't happy at the time because it meant England were second. Later in the tournament, I don't know. I genuinely don't know if I could support Wales, if I'd want Wales to do well or not.
You're probably facing Belgium in the quarters.
All right. Here's my question about Northern Ireland, and I've only got one about them, because we don't need to talk about just how well Northern Ireland have done. Here's my question. Do they have the best fans of the Euros?
It looks like it, doesn't it?
Because I think those fans, you watch them in the Germany game, it was ridiculous. Even when they scored, they conceded, you know. They were still singing. They were singing over the German fans when they'd conceded.
I would have them in Iceland.
Iceland have been amazing as well for their fans. I just think they were singing from the start to the end of that entire game. They've composed themselves really well in the streets and all that lot. I think they've been the best fans of the tournament. It's been so great to see. Because that's a team that is really just loving it. It doesn't matter. They don't care if they go out next, do they? Sure, they'd love to go through, but they don't care. They've had an amazing time. That's what football's about for me. So I think that's very good. Now, one of the other teams...
Iceland, though, isn't it something like 1 in 10 of the entire population is at the game?
Yeah, 8% of their population is at France at the moment. So their Prime Minister's probably like shitting themselves as productivity goes in the ground, as there's a 10% flight of their entire country has moved to France for a month. So he was probably hoping they were going out of the group stages, weren't he? Okay, let's talk about the Republic of Ireland. Is it a case that the dramatic last-minute goal, Robbie Brady, great goal, great victory over Italy, but is it a case of that last-minute goal papers over the cracks? Because before that, they were going out 1 point.
Yeah, a bit. I think the biggest surprise from that was seeing Roy Keane cry. I don't know if it was actually just him, like water trying to escape his face.
Yeah, no, I think Ireland, as much as they've also been really good fans out there, and they've been great to go and, you know, see them interacting with everyone. Like, there was a clip of them hoisting up, I think it was a Hungarian supporter, not supporter, a reporter, and they're singing whilst he's trying to do a broadcast. But no, I think they've actually been pretty crap. And if you take away that victory of Italy, and I know it's a victory of Italy, you can't take that away, it's a last minute goal. After that, they were going out. They were going out.
It's the side that were already through as well, as leaders of that group.
Yeah, I do think that last minute goal has papered over the cracks a little bit for them. I think they were going out. They were probably, if they'd gone out with 2 points, two draws against Sweden and Italy, they'd have said, what was the point of that? We turned up in this tournament just to do that. But yeah, they've gone through. Well done to them. They face France. And, I don't know. I'm really.
They were also in the group of death.
Yeah, and like I said, you got
to... if they'd have been in an easier group, could they have perhaps done a bit more?
Yeah, no, is that. I'm really looking forward... I don't know if this is the one that's on BBC, but I'm looking forward to what Thierry Henry says in France, the Ireland game. Or maybe he'll admit a few things. Okay, Spain.
I would love it if one of the Irish players scored with a handball.
Just to see his face afterwards.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just want to quickly say, you mentioned you hope it's on the BBC. Just want to say the ITV coverage I've been quite impressed with. Because I know they get criticised a lot for their coverage being quite poor, but I've really enjoyed, I've preferred the ITV coverage this year. I don't know if either of you have an opinion on it either way.
Well, I've missed the old Brazil. I think
ITV certainly improved because it doesn't have Adrian Childs on it anymore.
A little bit.
Yeah, Mark Bugacz is quite nice. I like Slaven Bilic as well. He's brilliant.
All right, let's
talk. I think he's very good, but his head scares me.
His head does not work as a head, does it?
Well, what is just going on with that haircut?
All right, let's talk about Spain. Do we think Spain are champions elect?
Maybe. They need a penalty taker, though, because Joe Ramos is no penalty taker.
See, for me, I think
the game versus Croatia was an awakening for them, but I think probably that Croatian midfield's the best at the tournament.
Yeah, I think Spain is personally just a little bit too hot and cold. I don't think they've recaptured their identity yet. I was talking about this before the tournament. I think after the last World Cup, and they looked out of sorts. It didn't look like they knew what they were doing particularly. And we're talking about, have they got their identity back? Do they know what Spanish football's about again? Personally, I don't think they've really quite got it back there. They've just done some decent performances against, what was it, Turkey and the Czech Republic? And the Czech Republic was the last minute goal. Let's not forget that. So I think they've been good, Spain. Better than us by a mile, but it's not quite all there yet. I think people going on, you know, praising Spain maniacally, it's not quite there yet.
I don't think there's been maniacal praise for them. I think the most of the sort of, like, oh, wow, aren't they doing amazing, has been towards Italy.
Let's talk about the Italians. Are the Italians the ultimate tournament team?
Well, I wrote them off before the tournament started. I didn't even consider them as an option.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I said the Ukraine were going to go to the final, and like, I was fucking miles away from that first team out, but I did say never rule out the Italians.
I wouldn't have said Italy would be the big team to go out of the group stage, as you mentioned, you suggested in the previous podcast, but I didn't, you know, even consider them as an option to win it, but then... You know, they've won the World Cup recently. They've got Bonucci, Barzagli and Chiellini, great, and Buffon, of course, the Juventus back four. And in front of them, they've got, you know, they're playing well. They're defending extremely well, as you'd expect from Italians, and they're going to be very difficult to beat, as you say, the perfect tournament team. I no team is going to fancy their chances against Italy. They'll absorb attacks well and hit you on the counter-attack. That's what they did very effectively against Belgium.
I think they might come unstuck against the Spanish, though, in the next round. Because I think they're, against the teams that they've been up against so far, they've they've obviously got such a solid back line, but Spain, with the likes of Iniesta and Fabregas in the centre core, Spain are going to get a lot of the possession, and the brain of Iniesta at some point will be able to unlock them.
Well, Morata as well, he's been very good. I've been impressed with him, and he's gone back to Real Madrid, isn't he? It'll be interesting to see how he gets on against his former Juve team.
Yeah, and anyone that will know how to play against them, you'd expect it to be him.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, you're talking about Iniesta's brain. I'd love to see him and Wayne Rooney in like a Sudoku challenge or something like that. Just let's see the difference between the footballing brains. Okay, the Germans. Now, Richard, you said you don't think the French are going to go on to win it now. Is it the Germans to lose? Because their biggest disappointment was a draw with Poland, and Poland are some of the dark horses of the tournament. And it's a draw, it's not like they lost a bloody thing. They were on top of the entire game, almost. So are the Germans now the team to lose it?
Yeah, the big weakness for them is up front. I don't think... Like, Gomez, they don't particularly want to play, but they don't really have much in the way of other options. And they keep on, like, having to stick sort of Mario Götze up there, who... He scored the goal in the World Cup, but since then has been pretty ineffectual, both at club and for the German side.
I think Götze is like Sterling. He's got a lot of potential, but doesn't quite show it as much as we think he maybe should.
Okay, I want to talk about just a few more teams here. Okay, who has been a bigger letdown at this tournament? Portugal or Belgium?
Belgium.
Belgium. Portugal. Okay, I personally am going to say Portugal, because I think... They've got a good team for once. Like, we always talk about Portugal and we say, okay, it's Ronaldo and it's the rest of them. But they've actually got some decent players in the rest of that Portuguese team for once. And they've been crap. I mean, they've been next level crap. So I personally think it's Portugal. I can understand why Belgium, though.
Group that we're in as well. Like, I'll put this out there. I'll put a bet on Ronaldo to be top goal scorer before the tournament started. You know, thinking, easy group.
Well, he's on two.
Yeah, I know. I was delighted when he got a couple last night, because I was very concerned about that bet. And
first goal he scored.
Quality.
To a player that's completely bang out of form.
Yeah.
Beforehand, to still have the confidence.
I mean,
to do that.
You mentioned the group. It's like you got Austria, Portugal, Hungary and Iceland. If you were going to bet it to go anywhere, you'd say Portugal and Austria at top, Iceland and Hungary at the bottom. Other way around, it's Hungary at the top, Iceland finished bloody second. That's ridiculous. I think Portugal, the group they had, should have got 9 points. They should have walked that, and they've been awful. Belgium, Richard, why did you say Belgium?
I think Portugal beforehand, I would have liked, you know, I'd have thought they could have got to the quarters to push. Belgium, though, like, over there, it's the golden generation for them. They've been at times second in the world. I think they're currently third in the world in the rankings. They're meant to be up there. Just because they've never been up there they're not a traditional powerhouse, doesn't mean that currently, with the quality of the squad that they've got, shouldn't be walking over teams.
But they've only lost one game. They got 6 points.
But they're again, looking like France, a team of individuals and not playing like a team.
Okay. Now, the other team I want to talk about is Croatia. Now, I think, Richard, you said you thought these guys were dark horses. I think this was one of the teams you said. Here's the question I've got. Are they actually dark horses, or should we have expected this? Because let's have a quick look at this team. You've got Subasic in goal, Korluka, Vasaiko, Serna, Kovacic, Modric, Perisic, Rakitic, Bade, Brozovic, Mandzukic. I mean, you've got one of the world's best strikers. You've got some of the world's best defenders. And I agree with what you said before. I think this is the best midfield in the tournament. Shouldn't we...
Not sure about best defenders.
Oh, I'd say Serna.
Serna's good.
I'd say he'd be the starting right back for just about any top team. I'd say Korluka is very underrated, and Vasaiko is one of the best up-and-coming fullbacks.
Sorry, I thought you said Vasaiko. I was trying to work out...
I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce it. They've also got Subasic, who is Monaco's starting goalkeeper. Right. I mean, it's one of those things where they haven't got... A bit like Belgium, almost. They haven't got a big name, as far as a country goes, but that team is quality. Surely we should be saying they're not dark horses. They should be expected to do well. That team, on paper, surely you say that's semi-final material, at least.
Okay, but then, like Belgium, Belgium and Croatia put them both together. Could you say that they've not got the tournament experience and all that, you know, the know-how to get through, like, say, a team like Italy does have?
Well,
I think for me, the difference, like, a lot of us rate Belgium, and I just said before that they're third in the world, but a lot of the Belgian team play in the Premier League. The Croatian team, not many of them do, and I think that's why a lot of English fans are sort of thinking, like, who the hell are these? we know Luka Modric, but a lot of English fans won't have a clue who half the rest of the team are. You see Rakitic every now and again playing for Barcelona, but they won't know pretty much the rest of the squad.
I tell you what, Ivan Perisic, he's the Wolfsburg player. I'm thinking he's quality for ages. I'm not just saying that. I've genuinely thought he's amazing. I remember, I think it was against Mexico in the World Cup, and he absolutely, I can't remember if they won or not, but he absolutely lit it up. His goal, like, you can talk about David De Gea should have done better, but his goal was quality.
You can check the Football Manager games on the forum, but I've always been a fan of Perisic. He plays at Inter now.
He's at Inter.
He's had a really good season for them. But yeah, no, I've always rated Perisic, and I know of a few people who put bets on him to score goals, to be top goal scorer. I like Perisic, very good player, and I mentioned before, he'd get into the England team for sure.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How many of these players would get into the England side? Because I think Rakitic, Serna would.
Much, definitely.
Serna would. I think Vissako probably would, because we haven't got any good left-backs at the moment. Kovacic, even though he's a young player and hasn't been starting that much, probably would. Modric definitely would. Perisic definitely would. Rakitic definitely would. What's his name? Badej? I can't know how to pronounce that one. Yeah, there we go. He's a defensive sort of midfielder. He'd get in. Mandzukic would definitely get in.
I think you're being a bit OTT. We've said earlier about how good Eric Dier's in. Badelli would not get in over Dier. Rakitic, Modric
would get in definitely as the second. He would get into the team, not necessarily the first team.
Into the squad, you mean? The 23?
Yeah, yeah, the 23.
Oh, sorry. Okay, no, that's fair enough. Sorry, yeah. No, I'll agree with that. Sorry, yeah.
I'd say, with only the exception of Badelli, I'd say he's the only one who doesn't get into the first team. The rest of them, I think Serna's better than our right backs. I think.
Kyle Walker's better than Serna. Serna's a good right back. Walker's better. Perisic and the two centre mids would, for sure. I would put Mandzukic and Kane on a par.
Okay, I can see that.
Probably Kane, if you know, put a gun to my head, make me choose Kane. But yeah, no, Perisic, Rakitic and Modric all walk into our side, and if those three plus an England side would win the Euros, would walk the Euros.
Ooh, wow.
There's my analysis for you.
Well, the other one that I want to then talk about, as I also think is on a par with Croatia, so far, has been Poland.
Poland. Well, they've had, Arkadiusz Milic, he's been quality. He's been great. I thought he's been absolutely brilliant.
They finished on the same points as Germany, drew with them, and the game versus them, they were unlucky not to beat them.
Mm. No, they've been very good, Poland. The last team I want to mention is Sweden, mainly because goodbye Ibrahimovic. He's out of international football after this point. Also, should they have done better? Or actually, is them finishing bottom of that group fair enough?
Fair enough.
I don't think, they're probably about the same as Ireland. I would argue, had Sweden played Italy on the final day with nothing to play for, and Ireland played Belgium, you know, if it was the other way around, maybe, you know, would we be seeing Sweden in the next round rather than Ireland? I think they're about the same. I think Sweden and Ireland are about the same level, and I'm just saying, yeah.
I agree. Shane Long is just as good as Ibrahimovic. I want to get on board with that.
Yeah, not quite what I'm saying. I don't want to see Shane Long playing at Man United.
You should, he's amazing. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about the Euros?
Who's been your breakthrough player so far, like a young player?
Eric Dier, without a doubt.
Eric Dier, I don't think anyone's really came out and made a massive name for themselves yet. Morata, maybe. But, yeah, I'm not sure anyone, for me, has really come out and made a statement or anything like that.
I'm going for a Polish lad called Kapuska.
Oh, we've actually been linked with signing him. Southampton.
He looks very, very good. I'm liking him. His name actually means little cabbage.
Is it? I hope we sign with little cabbage. That could be his little... We can make a chant out of a little cabbage at St. Mary's.
Kamil Glik's been good for Poland, but he's not like a breakout young player. He's always been a solid centre-back.
Well, thank you for joining us this week on the VT Football Podcast. I hope you're looking forward to the football. We've got England v Iceland is Monday at 8 o'clock. And I think Wales v Northern Ireland is 5 o'clock, I want to say, on Saturday. So if you're any of the home nations fans, look forward to those. I'm looking forward to seeing the Republic of Ireland v France game. That's what I'm very much looking forward to, especially for Henri. Thank you from us this week, and I hope you'll join us when the tournament's over and we'll be doing the final review of it. Thank you and good night.
Goodbye.